Imagine a secret meeting where seven men who controlled a quarter of the world's wealth gathered on a secluded island to reshape America's financial future. This actually happened in November 1910, when banking titans, including representatives of the Morgan and Rockefeller empires, met at Jekyll Island off Georgia's coast. Their mission? To design what would become the Federal Reserve System. The participants arrived separately, used only first names, and maintained elaborate cover stories about a duck hunting expedition. For 9 days, they worked 12-hour shifts, crafting a plan that would fundamentally transform America's monetary system. What emerged was essentially a banking cartel disguised as a government agency. The plan addressed five key objectives: stopping competition from smaller banks, creating an elastic money supply, pooling reserves to protect against bank runs, shifting losses from bank owners to taxpayers, and convincing Congress this scheme primarily served the public interest. This clandestine gathering, initially denied by historians but later confirmed by participants themselves, represents one of history's most consequential financial conspiracies, one whose effects we still feel today. Have you wondered where money comes from? The startling truth is our entire money supply exists only as debt. If all loans were repaid simultaneously, no money would remain in circulation. As Federal Reserve Governor Mariner Eccles testified in 1941, if there were no deaths in our money system, there wouldn't be any money. The process begins when the government issues bonds. The Federal Reserve purchases these by creating money from nothing, writing checks against no existing funds. When the government spends this money, it enters commercial banks. Through fractional reserve banking, banks keep only 10% as reserves while lending the remaining 90%. As these loans return as deposits, banks lend another 90%, multiplying the money supply about 9 times. Unlike historical systems requiring gold or silver reserves, modern money has no precious metal backing. This mechanism allows banks to collect interest on money they never had, while the resulting inflation acts as a hidden tax falling heaviest on the middle class and poor, effectively converting government debt into banking profits. Modern bankers excel at converting war into profits. Most large-scale modern wars require monetary expansion only possible through fiat currency creation. This pattern emerged clearly in World War I. The House of Morgan had extended massive loans to Britain and France that German submarines threatened. The Lusitania sinking, while secretly carrying 6 million ammunition rounds, created the perfect pretext for American intervention to protect these investments. When the German embassy attempted to warn American passengers through newspaper ads, the U.S. State Department blocked their publication. The formula continues: involve governments in war to ensure financing demand. Build up potential enemies when necessary. Replace governments refusing war debt and maintain balance between adversaries as peace reduces profits. Even Hitler's regime received substantial funding from Wall Street firms, including Rockefeller's National City Bank and Morgan's Equitable Trust, with business continuing through neutral countries after the war began. This pattern reveals how financial interests frequently override political considerations and moral boundaries. How did such a system gain congressional approval? Through masterful political deception. When the Aldrich Plan faced opposition, the Jekyll Island architects simply repackaged it. They engineered a three-way presidential race by persuading Teddy Roosevelt to run as the Bull Moose candidate, splitting the Republican vote, and installing Woodrow Wilson, who allowed Colonel House to effectively govern. Congressman Carter Glass, once a critic of the Aldrich Plan, became instrumental in passing essentially the same legislation under a new name. The Jekyll Island team publicly denounced the Glass-Owen bill while privately celebrating its similarity. When William Jennings Bryan demanded Federal Reserve notes be Treasury currency, Wilson agreed, telling Glass, "If we can hold the substance of the thing and give the other fellow the shadow, why not do it?" The Federal Reserve Act passed with deliberately vague language to avoid detailed debate. Despite its supposedly decentralized structure, the New York branch quickly dominated under Benjamin Strong, who had helped draft the cartel structure at Jekyll Island. The Great Depression was orchestrated, not accidental. From 1920-1929, the Federal Reserve engineered three business cycles that devastated average Americans while enriching insiders. The Fed repeatedly manipulated the money supply, expanding for WWI, raising rates in 1920 causing recession, lowering rates in 1921, tightening in 1923, creating $500 million in 1924 that banks leveraged to $4 billion, contracting after the Florida land boom collapsed, expanding to aid the Bank of England, and finally contracting sharply in 1929. During credit expansions, stocks became purely speculative, with investors buying on margin, putting down just 10% and borrowing the rest through a chain from brokers to banks to the Fed. The Dow rose 597% from 1921 to 1929. After a secret February 1929 meeting among international banking leaders, financial insiders like Rockefeller, Morgan, Kennedy, and Baruch liquidated before the crash, while those connected to the Federal Reserve and major New York banks avoided losses. This pattern of artificial expansion, followed by deliberate contraction, creates boom-bust cycles that transfer wealth from the uninformed to the well-connected, a financial trap that continues today. America is trapped in a debt spiral, with federal debt exploding and interest payments consuming a massive portion of revenue. Government employment now exceeds manufacturing, and more people receive government checks than pay income taxes. When citizens can vote to transfer wealth to themselves, democracy becomes a mechanism for plunder. These economic problems stem from a plan to exhaust the American economy through excessive spending, preparing citizens to accept rescue by international institutions. The Federal Reserve functions as an instrument of usury, generates taxation through inflation, finances war, creates boom-bust cycles, and centralizes control. This system cannot be reformed. It must be replaced. Solutions include repealing legal tender laws, defining the dollar in precious metal terms, establishing gold and silver reserves, paying off national debt, exchanging Federal Reserve notes for real dollars, and abolishing the Fed. Moving forward requires understanding that our monetary system is fundamentally unsound and unsustainable. The Federal Reserve impacts our lives through war, economic instability, and eroded freedoms. This creature from Jekyll Island extracts wealth through hidden taxation and engineered crises. Knowledge initiates change. By understanding money creation from nothing, how banking profits drive conflicts, how economic crashes are manufactured, and how debt controls, we can envision alternatives. The current system transfers wealth from productive citizens to connected insiders while posing as public service. Question financial orthodoxy. Recognize inflation as a policy choice, not a natural phenomenon. Understand that national debt serves specific interests rather than enabling prosperity. Monetary systems can be redesigned when they fail to serve the common good. The creature can be defeated through truth and determination. The question isn't whether our system will change, it's whether we'll shape that change through informed action or suffer through its collapse.